54 as viewed from Wilson Yon viewpoint. Okay, and from this, after that, I'm going to discuss a little bit some of the conclusion of that and some non-perturbative issues about the renormalizability of the 5-4 theory. Okay, so let's go back to what I explained at the end of last lecture. We have seen that very roughly, this is an image, if you view from the point of view of some energy scale, what we are doing in the standard perturbation theory, as it is explained in a standard textbook in high energy physics, before they start to discuss Wilson, we have a renormalization scale mu that corresponds to a physical scale at which we study phenomena. So that's a physical scale, if you want. And at this scale, we want to have a self-consistent quantum field theory defined in terms of a finite set of parameters that has a renormalized parameter. Coupling constant, masses, etc. And then we have, in order to define a theory, we introduce, in fact, or we think of the theory as having an ultraviolet cutoff, construct a path integral, for instance, a functional integral, involving explicitly the ultraviolet cutoff so that we make sense of the calculation, and check that we can send this cutoff to infinity, so neglect the effect of the high energy physics, and get something that makes sense here. And basically, it will make sense everywhere since this is has been sent to infinity in perturbation theory. So the idea is, can we send lambda to infinity? And the physics here makes sense, at least in perturbation theory. Okay. And if possible, non-perturbative. Okay. And we have seen that the philosophy of the Wilsonian point of view of what renormalization should be is to do the opposite. You start from an effective theory at an ultraviolet cutoff, and you ask what's the effective physics at a much, much lower energy scale. And basically, we are doing the same, either going from downward to up or downwards. Okay. So I'm going to present renormalization as viewed from this point of view. So let's start. And I'm going to do some strong approximations. So it will not be an exact calculation, but I hope you'll be justified. So I'm going to start with a theory with a sharp cutoff. Sharp ultraviolet cutoff. Let's just call it lambda. So I'm working at this energy scale. And at this energy scale, I take a quantum field theory with an action that I'm going to call S of phi. This will not be the renormalized action, which is, let me call it A for action. Okay. With action, that's because I'm going to use everywhere an S parameter, and that's a bit
A of phi. So A of phi is the same notation as the S of phi in the previous lectures. And it will be the same thing that H of phi in the statistical mechanics lecture. It will be some Hamiltonian. I'm, in my notes, I'm using A, so let's stick with A for A as action. Okay. Which means that, in fact, I'm considering a path integral. The theory is defined by a path integral over some field phi, exponential of minus A of phi. Okay. H bar is set to 1. Okay. So, and this A of phi is taken to be of the simple form. So let us work in D dimension. More general. And I'm adding first an ordinary d mu phi squared. And I'm adding a general potential V of phi. Okay? So I'm having a general potential as an interaction term. Okay. And for instance, you may, well, in my notation, I'm going to note that, so for instance, you can take V of phi equal a sum of coefficient polynomial in phi. So you may take, let's say, T0 plus T2 over 2 phi squared plus T4 over factorial 4 phi 4 plus T6 over factorial 6 phi 6. Etc. So you take a polynomial, and for simplicity, I'm taking a polynomial which is even in phi. So it means that I may have a potential that is locally a parabola, but then it becomes nonlinear, and you may very well imagine a potential which is something like that with a lot of different backup. And so, but we have this ultraviolet cutoff. This means that basically in this path integral, we consider that in momentum space, if we consider the Fourier transform of the field, this is well defined. If the momentum of k is less than lambda and it is zero otherwise. Okay, so it's an object that a mathematician won't like very much because it's a very singular configuration, but for the calculations, so basically in momentum space, you see this is k1, k2, k3. The Fourier component are defined in this ball of radius, of course, lambda. Okay, and I think that's something you have been using in the statistical mechanical course. Okay, and so if we start from this theory, we have seen that from this path integral, this theory will be defined by some effective action, the quantum theory, gamma of var phi. So var phi, remember, is a background field. And we have seen that at leading order, at one loop order, this effective action is the classical action. A of R phi that I wrote before
And then there is a one loop correction, which is 1/2. I set h bar to 1, so this is 1/2. And I get the trace of the logarithm of a differential operator, which is the Hessian of this action. So the Hessian of this action is simply minus the scalar Laplacian with respect to the position x. So this is the second derivative with respect to the field of the kinetic term. And then you have to take the second derivative with respect to the field phi of the potential. So you get the second derivative of the potential at, for the field configuration, var phi. Okay, so this is a differential operator with a differential operator plus multiplication by a function of x. You take the log of this differential operator, defined in proper way, and you take the trace. Okay? So this is the effective action at one loop. So I insist I neglect the other terms. Okay? And all the physics of the quantum system, if you want, is contained in this effective action, because out of the effective action, you can reconstruct the correlation function of the theory. Okay. So it contains the physics, the quantum physics. This is class quantum. Okay. And so I would like to, and so we have seen that in the particular case where V of phi contains just phi 4, in order to define a consistent quantum theory at some energy scale much lower than lambda, we have to renormalize the potential. So how do we formulate this in the language of Wilson? Okay. So that's what I'm going to do. So in order to do my calculation, so the Wilsonian framework, as you have seen in statistical mechanics, means that instead of computing this big path integral, minus a of phi, I'm going to separate phi into phi fast, phi fast slow, where basically in this direction, fast is obtained from the Fourier component in some momentum shell, and phi slow comes from the Fourier component of phi in the inside interior board. So phi fast comes from a momentum shell k between lambda and lambda, let's say, divided by some scaling factor s. So I have a scaling factor S larger than 1, so that's the momentum scale here. And let us call it this lambda prime. So this is lambda
and this is lambda prime. Lambda prime is smaller than lambda. Okay? And in practice, I'm going to take S close to 1, so I'm going to take S equal 1 plus, let's say, epsilon. Okay. So this will be an infinitely small shell of width epsilon lambda. Okay. And so, bad notation, I wrote this, I know. So, renormalization procedure. What is this, my renormalization procedure? First, I made this decomposition. Then I integrate over the fast mode. So I'm decomposing my partition function here. Let's call it Z, as usual. I'm decomposing Z as, this is the formal notation, phi slow times integral of d phi fast of exponential of minus a of phi fast plus phi slow. Okay. And I just perform the integration over the fast mode. And so, very formally, what I get is an integral over phi slow of an object, a complicated functional of phi slow, that I can just rename an effective action of phi slow. So this is the first step. In Wilsonian language, right? Integration, that's a crucial step. That's integration over the fast modes. And this corresponds to, in the language of statistical mechanics, to a block spin transformation, if you are on a lattice. Simply here we are working in momentum space. And so this is this kind of the idea of making block spin transformation that in fact goes back to Kadanoff and that Wilson used in a very clever way. It's always also sometimes called also decimation procedure. So there are many names and many different explicit realizations of this idea. So that's one of the ideas. So step one is go from, so we get from A microscopic to A effective for the Slough modes. Yes?
Is it obvious that the integral really factorizes into two path integrals, the way you wrote it? That the integral over
yes.
Phi...
Oh, you mean the measure?
Yeah.
Yes, because, well, if you want to work out at a rigorous level, you have to work, but at a semi-rigorous level, you can check, for instance, that if you are on a lattice, let me write this. Well, let me hire this. Those blackboards are convenient. If you are on a lattice, see, formally d phi is in fact defined as a product over the x's, the sides of the lattice of phi of x, d phi of x, let's say, up to normalization. We have seen that in the trick. But if you take the Fourier modes of this, you can check that this measure is also a product of the Fourier modes, and Fourier is a honorable French scientist, so let me put an F of D of phi 8 of k. And you can check that since the transformation from phi x to phi k is linear, there is some Jacobian that I'm not writing, but basically this times some normalization factor can be written as this with a normalization factor. Because the transformation for phi x to phi hat of k is linear. Okay, so we go from A to A effective. Okay. But now, remember, in this notation, first we started from phi, which is fast plus slow, and it is defined for, so phi eight of k is defined for momenta k less than lambda. And A effective involves phi slow, that can call also phi effective of, if you prefer, of k, because that's the phi that appears in the for the effective action. And phi effective of slow is the phi for momenta k less than lambda divided by 1 plus epsilon. So basically, lambda 1 minus epsilon. So they don't live in the same space of function. So renormalization means comparing the original action, or Hamiltonian, and the effective action. So in order to compare two theories, you have to compare two theories that live in the same space of theories. So step two, rescale, make a rescaling so that now you re-express the theory defined by A effective in the same space than the original action. So you must rescale positions x or equivalently momenta to. I'm going to rescale x to some x prime and momenta k to some k prime so that the k prime now are less than lambda. Okay? And re-express A effective in term of in this variable. But it turns out that it is, in fact, you have, and it is convenient to rescale also the field phi effective into some phi prime. So you see, you start from a phi effective of x, and I want to rescale it into a phi prime of x prime by some factor. Because when you make a decimation procedure, you average the field so they don't have exactly the same law. And we are going to see what is convenient. So part of the rescaling of the field is just a choice. But there is one convenient choice. Okay. And if we do this rescaling, we can write that so if we it's just a rescaling, there is no physical operation in that. So that the effective action that we have computed for my effective or slow modes field is just equal to some A prime action for phi prime. And that's identity. It's just a rescaling, so I'm just re-expressing the effective action in terms of effective of the coarse grain field or the slow mode field in terms of the phi prime. And so phi prime, I'm going to call it the renormalized field variable. And A prime will be the renormalized action. Okay? And of course, we are going to re-express D of phi effective as D prime, if you want, of phi prime. But this will be quite trivial. Okay. So the important step is that you rescale the position, you find a convenient rescaling from the field, and you re-express A. Okay, so it means that when you start from an original action, so let me just write something very, this is a space of actions, of Hintonian. Not going to define mathematically what this is, because that's something that is very, very fuzzy. And in fact, I think no mathematician, except in some very special case, knows how to define this properly. But I'm a theoretical physicist, so there is some space of action. We start from an original action at the scale A is. So it's a point in the space of action that I perform my renormalization group transformation by a scale factor S. And I end up with a renormalization A prime. So that's the philosophy of Wilson. And of course, the step three is that you iterate so that at the end, after a big rescaling by a factor s to the power n, you end up with a renormalized action after n step. So rescaling, so it means that rescaling by a factor s to the power n gives a renormalization A to the power n in terms of field effective renormalized field phi to the power n. Okay. Okay, so that's the logic that you have seen in statistical mechanical theory. And you see that's exactly the same logic. Okay. And of course, iterating means that, in fact, we can do the calculation in a situation where the scaling factor is very small. So if S is, if the original factor S is 1 plus epsilon, so that's S original, if you want. And if you take N large of the order let us call it little s divided by epsilon large, then s to the power n is 1 plus epsilon to the power s divided by epsilon, which in the limit epsilon goes to 0, s large is just exponential of little s. So this is s original. So the global, if you want, the final rescaling factor is this S global. And you see that by iterating many times an infinitesimal renormalization transformation, you end up with a global rescaling. And in fact, since making a small, you have better control on what you are doing if you are doing a small rescaling, that in fact is a better approximation than doing brutally an integration over all the degrees of freedom from lambda to lambda divided by S, which would mean being able to perform the complete functional integral calculation. So renormalization group can be viewed as some kind of, you know, finite difference approximation scheme to performing a direct path integral calculation. And usually, you know that if you find a finite difference scheme and have control on it, it's a much better way to solve some problem. Okay.
Sorry?
Yes? No, I'm just stating that it's just a trivial statement. I'm just stating that in this picture, rather than integrating over a large part of the momentum ball, better to integrate a little bit, compute it, and then, so if you make some approximation that we are going to, it's better to do the approximation on the small momentum shell calculation and then iterate than making approximation on the whole calculation. Of course, if you are able to do the calculation completely, exactly, it's completely equivalent. So no need to approximate the calculation that you can do exactly. But if you don't know how to do this, and that's usually the case, even for mathematicians who study rigorously renormalization group approach, then they can get control on that by doing infinitesimal or small momentum slice calculation. So this is a very general, it's a sketchy formulation, but there are some rigorous formulation of what is a momentum slice decomposition in what's called constructive quantum field theory, which leads to rigorous bounds and rigorous results, and which relies more or less on this idea. So it's not just, it may be made, it's useful even in math. Okay. Good. So this is a general philosophy of renormalization group, and let's see what it gives when you are using this effective action. So let's use the effective action formalism. So I'm going to make approximation using the effective action, which turns out to an approximation scale that is a low, so the local potential effective action approximation. Okay. So let's see. Let's go back to the effective action at one loop. In the effective action at one loop, well, first I made an approximation. I took a general action that is of the form kinetic term plus V of phi. So this is a local potential. V of phi is the local potential. So we have made an approximation, for instance, that we have no higher derivative terms. No square of the Laplacian of phi, for instance. Okay, so that's an approximation. Second approximation I'm going to do when I'm computing this effective action is something that is not completely trivial, but that turns out that it is to be justified. So remember, we have to estimate this and how this changes if you make an integration over momentum scale. So let's go back to the exact result first. What is this? This is, it's a trace. So it's a sum over its diagonal elements of x log of minus Laplacian plus okay. So this is a partial differential operator, but if you take the log of this operator, it's something that is highly non-local. So it's not a differential operator anymore. Because in fact, in order to know this matrix element at a point x, you have to estimate how the correlation between the field phi propagates. And this depends on the value of the field at any points. Yes?
Doesn't this operator act on fields?
Yes, this operator. What this operator acts on field. Let's call them psi. And if this operator acts on epsilon phi, it means the final result is minus Laplace operator with respect to, let's say, capital X of psi of X, plus the polynomial, the second derivative of V for the field phi at point X, times psi of X. So this is an operator that acts on fields.
To take the trace, wouldn't we have to integrate over fields rather than position then?
No, because you see, if you think in terms of operator, psi of x is a vector. Psi is a vector whose component of psi of x1, psi of x2. So it's an infinite component vector. But if imagine that you are on a lattice and then you have a discrete. So psi is a vector. It's an element of a linear vector space, the space of function on X. You see? And this is an operator, so it's a matrix that transforms a vector into another vector, which is this function. This is another function. And so the X's label, the position, you see, position labels the components of the vector psi. So taking the trace means taking the sum of our diagonal elements, which in this bracket notation of Dirac is represented by this way. You see, bracket, the bracket notation of Dirac means that you assume that you note that psi of x is just the scalar product of the bra x by the ket psi. So if you want to think of psi as a vector, a ket, x is a bra. And the scalar product of x with psi is the value of the function psi at the point x. And trace on something, some operator O, means sum over x, which means integral over x of x O x. The sum over the diagonal elements. So I'm using the trace in the X basis. So that's exactly the same rule that you use in ordinary non-relativistic quantum mechanics, because you deal with, you know, operator are operator acting on a vector space, which is some space of functions defined in space. Okay, that's not that's something. I don't know if perhaps in quantum mechanics you have seen the formalism of what's called ridged Hilbert space that makes this. Probably not. Okay, but anyway, it's okay. So this is the formula, and then we are going to make an approximation, which is a non-trivial approximation, which is justified, turns out to be approximation, which is justified in one loop calculation. But I'm not going to justify more. I'm going to assume that when you compute the matrix element at point X of this non-local operator, I can replace this, which is a function of X, by a number which is the second derivative of the value of the second derivative of V at a for a particular constant field, which is phi at point X. So I'm going to replace to state that log of minus Laplacian plus the second derivative of the field phi by something which looks almost the same, but which is different. It is a second derivative of the field at the point X. So you see, this is a function. This is a constant function. Okay. And the constant function is not the same at a different point of X. Okay. It turns out that the difference between this and this comes only in the higher order loop terms that we have here. So it's in fact it's justified in one loop calculation, but that's slightly non-trivial. Okay. So now this is a number. So if this is a number, we have the matrix element at a given point of the logarithm of minus the Laplacian plus a number, which plays a role of a mass. And so it's easy to see that. So this is now a differential operator, which is invariant by translation, because this is just a number. So its eigen vectors are plane waves. We know how to diagonalize it. So we can compute X log of this, because we know that this operator is now invariant by translation. See? If you take the operator minus lambda plus second derivative of phi or some fixed point, let's say X naught. Okay, this is a differential operator. It's eigenvectors are just plane waves, exponential minus I k x sub psi. You see, this is some psi k of x. This is an eigenvector. And the eigenvalue of this operator for this is just, of course, k squared plus second derivative of phi at the position x naught. You see? And from this, you can check very easily that this, now this can be computed, and this is the integral d dk over 2 pi to the power d of the logarithm of this object minus k squared plus second derivative of phi of x. Okay. And if you want to be sure of what, okay, you see, this is a function of x, and here I'm computing this matrix element at some point x naught. So this is a function that depends on x. Here, this is a function that doesn't depend on x. It depends only on x naught. Okay. So I'm doing this approximation. And of course, this is a formal formula, but remember that we are dealing with a quantum theory that is defined for fast momenta. So in fact, we have to integrate over momenta with k less than lambda. Yes?
What is the condition that local approximation is good?
This one or this one?
Yeah, second one.
Well, the second one is justified. In a renormalization group calculation, if you neglect all the higher order terms. So I'm going to justify it a little bit more in a moment. But it's an approximation. So I am cheating partly and putting some difficulties under the carpet. Okay. So now the question is, renormalization, what does it mean for renormalization procedure at step one? So step one means instead, remember, the effective action is basically the action that governs the physics of the theory if you integrate over the whole modes. So you see. So basically, you go from A of phi and you end up with gamma of phi if you integrate all the mode. If you integrate over all the modes from k equal lambda to zero. But now, if I integrate over the momentum shell k between lambda and lambda 1 minus epsilon, well, from this formula, you can see quite easily that instead of going from A of phi to the full effective action, you go to an effective action for phi effective, of phi effective plus the wall of phi slow, which is given by this formula. It is the original action for the original field, but now I replace phi by phi effective because I've integrated over the fast mode. And the contribution of the is just replaced by, instead of integrating over the whole momentum ball, you integrate over the momentum shell. So I get something which is 1/2 integral d dx, and then integral over d dk divided by 2 pi squared log of k squared plus second derivative of phi at the point x. And so here I integrate for the k between lambda and lambda 1 minus epsilon. Okay, and if you are a bit worried about the normalization, the fact that you have a log with something that is as dimensional momenta, it turns out that in fact correct normalization in the measure is that this has to be divided by lambda squared, because lambda squared is a natural measure. So that's so we get an explicit formula for A effective. And when you do, so in this calculation, we made this approximation. But in some sense, this approximation is quite justified when you integrate for the momenta between here. Because if you integrate over those momenta, we integrate over phi fast of k and keep phi slow of k fixed. And if you think about it in terms of in momentum, not in momentum space, but in position space, you have some phi slow. And you are integrating over the fluctuation of the fields that has a momenta. So this is phi fast. And so you see that phi fast vary much more quickly than phi slow in position space, which means that when you, in this log of, when you contribute, if you sum only the contribution of the eigenvalue with high k, they feel the value of phi slow only locally. It's a very unwavering argument, but that's roughly what's going on. So phi fast, if you want, feels only the local behavior of phi slow. It's not a proof. Yes?
This trace log term
for, yes?
That we've calculated here, that looks like it comes from the gamma, right? Why do we get a contribution that looks like something in gamma when we renormalize A? Could you repeat that?
Yes. In fact, you can derive this formula by asking, you start from this equation, and you want that, so another derivation if you want, another derivation. You start from an action A, you end up phi, but in this formula, the trace of a log is estimated with a cutoff lambda. When you take the trace, means sum over the eigenmode, so cutoff lambda. If you perform this step one, you get an A effective of phi. So you integrate over the modes. You end up with another effective action with a different cutoff lambda prime. So something else, effective of phi, but with a trace lambda prime. But you want that the effective action computed with this action and with a cutoff lambda, and the effective action computed with this effective action, so that's the action microscopic, this effective action and with a cutoff lambda prime, different from lambda. You want this gamma and this gamma to be equal, because the final results, this correspond to the final results when you integrate, you see. And if you work a little bit that, you end up with this formula. Okay. because integrating, you know, over performing a renormalization group transformation in Wilson is just separating the integration of all the modes into a subsum. Yes?
Why is it you can change the like, phi to the other phi? Like,
Why can you change the phi to the other phi? Okay, because here phi is, phi effective are just
dummy integration variable. So I can change my notation. Okay. Okay, so let's assume that we get this result. So that's, we made two important approximations, and we end up with this formula. Okay, and then, of course, since we are integrating into over a momentum shell, k squared is equal to lambda in the first approximation. Okay, so this term, this integral, you can replace it. So let's write this term, or rather, okay, let's write this term. This term, then there is no approximation. If epsilon is small, you can replace it by 1/2 integral dd x, and then you can replace it by lambda to the power d. Epsilon divided by 2 pi to the power d times the volume of the sphere, of the unit sphere of dimension d minus 1. It's just, you know, I'm just stating that if I have a momentum shell like that, and I'm integrating over but think of it as the, you know, the skin of an orange, the volume of this is just this, which is the lambda epsilon, which is the depth of the skin, times the area of this sphere, which is lambda d minus 1, times this area, or volume, if you want, volume of the unit sphere. Yes?
I'm not sure I understand what you did in the last part of the gamma phi, the case and the effective.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to explain this or this one.
I mean, you said that there's a link between the two. Right?
There is?
You said that the two should be the same?
Yeah, no. I'm stating this has to be the same.
Because this is obtained by integrating over all the modes. So this, you know, the calculation, starting from the action A, with a cutoff lambda, should give the same effective actions as starting with an effective action, starting at cutoff lambda prime less than lambda. Because we get that's what I draw here. You make an, if you integrate over all the momenta, you get something, but if you integrate over this shell of momenta, so you start from A. Here you start from A effective. And you integrate again, you should get the same result. I'm just decomposing a big integral into two subpieces of integral. Okay. Okay, so this is the volume of the unit sphere times log. And then I can replace k squared by lambda because I am just on the skin of my ball. So I have 1 plus lambda minus 2 second derivative of phi of x. Okay. And so, I'm going slowly, but that's important. And now, in fact, we are almost done. Because you see from this result that there is an epsilon. So you see that the difference between A effective and A is of order epsilon. That's because we integrated over a momentum shell of width epsilon. So we make a small deformation. So we get that A effective of phi effective is A of phi effective. Well, let me write it in a catchy way. So it's integral d dx, 1/2 of d phi effective squared plus second derivative of v of phi effective of x plus epsilon 1/2 lambda d over 2 pi to the power d times the volume of the unit sphere, and the volume of the unit sphere, if you compute it carefully, is just divided by gamma of d over 2 times pi to the power d over 2. That's the formula. And if I'm not mistaken, you can check that if the dimension of space is 2, you get 2. No, I'm sorry. There is pi over 2. Pi d over 2 times gamma of d over 2. So if the dimension of d is 2, you get 2 pi divided by gamma of 1. So you get 2 pi. That's the length of the circle. If pi, if d is equal to 3/2, you get the volume of the area of the sphere, which is 4 pi, etc., etc. And so this is just the volume of the sphere. And then you get the log of 1 plus lambda minus 2. Second derivative of v of phi of x. Okay. And of phi effective of x, of course. And since you integrate over x, you can write this. So you get, this is a classical contribution, and you get some complicated function, nonlinear function of phi effective. But it's local in X. So you see that in these schemes, going from renormalization amounts to change the potential. You start from a potential V of phi, and you end up with an effective potential, renormalized effective potential of effect of the effective potential, which is the original effective potential plus a contribution of epsilon. And this epsilon is 1/2 lambda d. And if you work this about, you get 2 disappear. And what you get is 1 over 4 pi d over 2 gamma over d over 2 log of 1 plus lambda minus 2 okay. So you see that only the potential, the local potential, is renormalized. So it's with the approximations that I have done, the normalization procedure, you know, stays in the space of general action I started from. I do not generate more complicated terms, like non-local terms. Of course, that's the advantage and the limit of the approximation I made. Okay, so only the local potential is renormalized. So this is step one. So now remember, we still have to do step two. And step two means that we have to rescale everything so that lambda, the new cutoff becomes the old cutoff. So step two means that we have to rescale x into x prime equal x divided by, so we have to rescale x into x prime equal x divided by 1 plus epsilon, so that k is rescaled into k prime equal k times 1 plus epsilon. See? So that the cutoff becomes lambda again. But if we do this rescaling of x's, the measure changes, the derivative changes. So you have to rescale phi by rescaling phi effective, defining that phi effective is rescaled into a renormalized phi scaled phi prime. And I'm trying not to make any mistake. Phi prime, so phi prime of x prime has to be equal to phi effective of x times 1 plus epsilon to the power some number that is going to be called the scaling dimension of the field. And it's easy to see that this delta phi has to be equal to d minus 2 over 2, so that this term is unchanged. And delta phi is called the scaling dimension of the field phi. OK, and if we do this, the term integral dx of d phi effective squared of x is equal to integral dd of x prime d of phi prime squared. So only v changes. But if we do that, we make a rescaling on x. We make a rescaling of phi. Therefore, there is a rescaling in v. And it's not very difficult to check that the final result is, and let me just, we're almost done, so. So if we do this rescaling, of course, we have to rescale. We have to write something that the integral dx of v effective of phi effective, we want to write it as integral dd x prime of v, well, renormalized. Because if I put a prime here, it will be a bad idea because it's not the derivative of phi prime. So I just have to write this renormalized. And this will introduce some derivative of V because I'm going to make a rescaling. So final result. Final result in terms of renormalized quantities. And remember that epsilon is just an infinitesimal integration over the integration. So if in terms of renormalized quantity, if I iterate after n equal, remember, log s divided by epsilon iteration, which means that I perform a renormalization quantity by a global factor S, so which means rescaling by a global factor S on position. If I start from a microscopic cutoff, so that's the initial potential. I end up after rescaling by a continuous factor S by a Vs of phi S, where Vs is a renormalized potential. Okay. And this equation that tells me how V effective is changed if I make an infinitesimal transformation becomes a differential equation with respect to epsilon, which is proportional to the variation of log s. So it will be an s d over ds of vs of phi. So this is an equation for my local potential. And I get first a term which is d times Vs of phi. This comes just from the fact that I'm making here a rescaling over the x's, and there is an integral dd over x. Okay? Then I get a minus d minus 2 over 2 times phi, the derivative with phi of Vs of phi. Okay, remember, Vs is a function of phi. Okay, so this comes just for rescaling of x, rescaling of x in step 2. This comes from the rescaling of phi, because you recognize here just the scaling dimension of the field. So this is classical terms. And then you get this term. And I'm going to set in the following lambda to 1. So I'm working in units of the cutoff in order not to have any lambda in the calculation, but otherwise you can just, you have a lambda d here and a lambda minus 2 here. You get some constant times log logarithm of 1, it is this term, plus the second derivative of the potential. So 1 plus second derivative with respect to phi or Vs of phi. OK. And A is just this constant, which I wrote before. It's 1 over 4 pi d divided by 2 gamma of d over 2. OK. So this is an important result because this is a renormalization group flow equation in the space of potentials V of phi. You start from a given potential V of phi. You iterate your normalization procedure, and after large number of steps, you get with an effective potential after rescaling S, and locally it is given by this law equation. So you see it's a linear in log of S, and you get a term that is linear in the potential here, that's a classical term, and a term that is non-linear in the potential. So it's a non-linear partial differential equation with respect to phi in the space of potential. You see? So this is classical scaling, and this is one loop contribution. Okay? And it contains more than what you did in statistical mechanics. And it contains more than what I did in the previous year, because it contains renormalization effect for higher order terms in the interaction. Yes?
What's the justification of setting lambda to one capital lambda?
It's just a normalization.
But it's something that changes.
No, because, you know, renormalization procedures that I start from lambda, I integrate so that I get a shorter cutoff, and I rescale everything. So at each step, the renormalization, the action is expressed. The action is an action of a series with always the same cutoff lambda. That's the principle of renormalization. You know, if you do a Wilsonian renormalization group on a lattice space, you do some Kadanoff Wilsonov, you define this into block spans. So you get an effective theory block spin system like that. And then you rescale it so that you can compare it with the original action with the same cutoff. And you continue. So lambda is just the initial condition. So it means that if you want, I just have, well, rescale everything in terms of lambda. In fact, that time, you rescale you define a new field. You re-express everything in terms of dimensionless quantity, if you want. You do all your calculation, but instead of writing it here, instead of you write this Q, instead of X, you are using X lambda, and you call this Y, new coordinates, and instead of dealing with phi, you get some phi times lambda to the power, I don't remember, it's d minus 2 divided by 2, or the opposite, and you call this a new field psi, and this is dimensionless, this is dimensionless, this is dimensionless. It's just what I mean. It's scaling.
So
okay.
Actually, what you've written there is in terms of psi.
Yes, so in fact, this is in terms of psi. This is an equation, yes. But I could have started for a model where everything is expressed in units where lambda equal 1. So I express everything in units where lambda equal 1. But otherwise, you just have to add a lambda d here. You have to have a lambda squared here and a lambda d so that everything has the same dimension. So it's not a problem. It's just a choice of units. Okay, so let me finish because I'm going a bit slowly. So we get a flow, and this flow is richer than what we have because we have it for any diagrams. And now I don't have time here to express everything, but remember We started from a field, and let us start from a V of phi, which is, and I'm going to use this notation, T over 2 phi squared plus G divided by 4 squared phi to the 4 plus H over 6 phi 6 plus, and let us take just a potential which is like that. So you see, T plays the role of the mass square term, G is the, and this is a new coupling for a phi 6 series. And then, of course, phi dot of phi is just T plus G over 2 phi 4 plus H divided by factorial 4, I'm sorry, phi squared plus phi 4. And so, if you write the log of 1 plus second derivative of phi, this is log of 1 plus t plus g over 2 phi squared plus h over factorial 4 phi to the 4. Okay, and you can expand this in power of phi squared. You can write this, this is log of 1 plus t plus log of this. So you get something which is g divided by 1 plus t, 1 half phi 4 plus h divided by factorial 4, 1 over 1 plus t squared, I'm sorry, phi 4. Then you have expanded to second order terms, you get minus 1 half the square of this, so you get g over 2 phi squared plus h over factorial 4 phi 4 divided by 1 plus t squared plus 1 third of g over 2 1 over 1 plus t phi squared to the power 3 plus higher order terms. And if you truncate at order phi 6, this equation, which is an approximation. You can study this equation exactly, but if you truncate everything at order phi 6, so you start from potential that contains only phi 6 term, you expand the exponential and you expand, you see that this is a phi squared term, this is a phi 4, this contains a phi squared, a phi 4, and a phi 6 term. This contains a phi 6 term. You just expand the log, and you get a set of a nonlinear flow equation for the couplings. Because now Vs, you see, if you deal with Vs, will be an effective renormalized coupling. So now you get renormalized couplings, TS, GS, and HS, renormalized couplings. And you get flow equation for them. Just rewrite the flow equation for ZVS in terms of, so you get an equation which is something like, for instance, S d over ds of t equal, and let me, well, if you work out things, you get that S d over s of t is 2t plus g minus t, or there is an A in front of that. So you get flow equation. You get flow equation like S over ds of dts is some function of the Riemannized coupling. So some function of ts, gs, and hs. And this function would just be let me call it WT. It's just going to be a Wilson function for the coupling. And you get S d over ds of gs equal wg of ts, gs, and hs, and some randomization will flow d over ds of hs equal wh of ts, gs, and hs. And these functions are just polynomials. And this Wilson normalization group functions, are just minus the beta function in perturbation theory. And I have not much time. So perhaps it should be better to end up here. Well, let me not end up, but just write that basically if you start from this, you plug this in, what you are going to see is that this WT function is just in D dimension, in D equal 4, that's simplicity. Remember, you add the d and the d minus 4. So in d equal 4, w of t is d2 t plus a g plus some other terms I'm not very important. And wg is minus 3 a g squared plus some other terms. And that's just the result of this calculation expanding the log. And you recognize here minus the beta function of the phi 4 theory. Because remember, the beta function of g we found in perturbation theory was in four dimension plus 3 divided by 4 pi squared, which is this a factor for d equal 4, because then you have 1 over 4 pi squared divided times gamma of 2, which is 1, g squared. You see, we had consistency between the Wilson randomization group flow that we computed here and the beta function we obtained in perturbation theory for phi 4 theory. Okay, so I think I'm going to stop here, because otherwise I need another 15 minutes and you need a break. So we are going to discuss a little bit more the feature of the flow we get when you include, for instance, phi 6 term in the action. And I'm going to discuss, you know, with some picture the feature of the randomization group. Flow we get using this Wilsonian approach in this approximation of the local potential approximation, and to finish what I wanted to discuss today. So this would take, let's say, half an hour, and then I'll be done with what I wanted to discuss about randomization theory, and I'm start to discuss quantization of theories with fermions involved using path integral methods, because this will be required for gauge theories that I'm going to treat next week. Yes?
Here, the action A is
yes.
the
the renormalized action we used in the previously? The action A?
Yeah, the action A is a
microscopic action. You you start at the beginning. So it's a bare action, if you want.
Bare action? It's so a, it is not containing any
upper it's
no, the point is that if you you see, you have this action A
of phi that depends on some bare, some parameter. T, G, H. This is a bare action in the language of. Now you perform a renormalization group calculation and you get a renormalized action AS of phi S, which can be expressed in terms of a renormalized parameter TS, GS, HS. And the coefficient of this are finite in terms of this one. Now you have to remember what you did in the language of theory. We start from lambda. So we start from the scale lambda. At this scale, we have T, G, H. We perform a Wilsonian normalization by a factor S. So we end up with an effective cutoff, which is lambda divided by S. So this plays a role of the renormalization scale mu. You see? Okay? And remember, in this notation, TS is dimensionless because there are no number. So in fact, TS is a pure number. So when you expressed it in terms of mu, by writing mu squared TS, because remember, this is the coefficient of a mass term. So if I just write mu squared TS, this will correspond to the renormalized mass squared in four dimensions. G S is dimensionless. So GS will correspond to the renormalized coupling. And we'll see what's happening to HS and why HS is not important at that scale. While lambda squared T was a bare mass, and G was a bare mass. So this is the relation between the renormalized parameter in the Wilsonian approach that are dimensionless because they are always expressed in terms of the unit of scale at that along each step and the renormalized parameter. So the relation between the renormalized parameter parameters in the perturbative calculations that I explained yesterday and the day before and the bare parameter is here. See? Okay, so the Wilsonian approach means basically if you stay from a bare theory, you express everything in units of the lambda, you renormalized, you get the renormalized parameter, and you re-express them in terms of the renormalization scale you have here. And then you see the exact connection. Okay, but I'm going to explain, come back. You'll see what's going on flow. I will show the picture of the flow because here it's just algebra. But geometrically, things are going to become very clear and I'm going to show this tomorrow. Okay? So, thank you.